This is a disclaimer for you, the listener. This podcast comes with darkness, gruesome, bizarre, and downright weird stories. You've been warned.
Welcome to Under the Stairs.
Hey, hello.
A podcast that is brimming with gruesome true crime events.
Oh my God.
Paranormal encounters and more weird, wonderful, and bizarre things that the world will bring. Yes, hello, my good people. Welcome back to Under the Stairs. I've got to apologize, first of all, for not bringing you beautiful people an episode for over a month now. But there's a good reason. I've had to take a little bit of time for myself, a little bit of self-care. There's been a few adjustments in life which I've adapted to now, and we're good, and we're rolling, and I'm researching more creepy, dark, weird shit just for you guys, and of course myself as well. So today, we are all going to look into scary cults that this world brings. And I'm telling you now, we are in for a beautifully dark, disturbing episode. And of course, it's very informative about these cults because, well, it's just good to know, because you never know who you are going to meet, okay? And I'm telling you now, if you meet anybody within these cults, run. Run instantly. Don't stick around. Don't ask any questions. Just run. Okay, my people. So, let's get into today's episode. It's all about the beautiful dark cults of the world. Let's go. Now we start with a cult by the name of Angel's Landing, which was ran by the cult leader Daniel Perez, who was also known as Lou Castro. Now this guy was found guilty back in 2015, and he was found guilty on dozens of criminal counts such as sex crimes and murder. But let's dig a little deeper into just what this cult was made for and what happened within the compound of this cult. Daniel Perez and his followers lived on a 20-acre compound. It had several residential buildings and a swimming pool. And of course, it was noted that there was a numerous of high-end vehicles on the property, despite the community's apparent lack of financial resources. I mean, how often do we hear that about these kind of cults? Authorities could not find any information about the man who called himself Lou Castro. He did not appear to have any employment records. They had no proof of his existence before he appeared in looking to purchase a property. Upon his arrival in Kansas, Daniel Perez introduced himself as Lou Castro and managed to convince numerous people that he was an angel who could perform medical miracles and predict the future. He also claimed he could predict when someone would die. This guy sounds pretty cool. There was a real estate agent who helped Perez find and purchase the land and was one of the first members of his new cult. Within weeks after their first meeting, Sarah and her sister Emily and her mother moved to the Angel's Landing and become part of Daniel Perez's toxic family. And of course, at the time, they didn't realise what they were about to get themselves involved with. Apparently, Sara didn't feel comfortable around Perez. But her mother was just so absorbed with Perez's lies about becoming an angel and believed he had their best interests in mind. Sara said that Daniel Perez began sexually abusing her within weeks of their arrival. Although he claimed he was simply trying to fix her, she knew it was wrong. So this guy is instantly just preying on women, saying that she needs to be fixed, and the only way to fix her is to sexually abuse her. Daniel Perez is a dangerous man. Sara became even more concerned when some of Perez's more disturbing predictions came true. In June 2003, a woman named Patricia Hughes died by a freak accident. As reported, the woman, who was like a second mother to Sara, slipped and fell in the compound's pool and drowned. 3 years later, Patricia's husband, Brian, was killed in a very similar, unusual incident while working in an auto body shop. Both deaths were predicted by Daniel Perez. The accidents, well, we'll put them in brackets. The accidents caught the attention of the local authorities, okay? Now, however, there was little information linking Perez to the deaths. They became frustrated and they could not confirm the true identity of this man who called himself Lou Castro. Two years after Brian Hughes died, Sara's mother died in a suspicious car accident. Now, Sara's mother is also the real estate agent that helped Perez get the property. Now, local authorities were again hampered by the lack of evidence, but they had strong suspicions that Daniel Perez was involved. Now, this is when they contacted the FBI for the assistance of the investigation. FBI agents discovered the man that was calling himself Lou Castro was actually named David Perez. This man has got a lot of names. More names than Batman. Now, Daniel Perez was arrested in Nashville in 2010. Authorities said that Perez fled to Tennessee to avoid questioning about his followers' suspicious deaths. Now, detectives learned that Perez funded his luxurious lifestyle with life insurance payouts from the deaths of his followers. Insurance salesman Bill Atten confirmed Daniel Perez collected $2 million from the death of Patricia Hughes alone. Authorities also linked Perez to a total of 6 accidental deaths, for which Perez collected an estimated $4.2 million. In addition to providing Perez with a steady income, his predictions of the deaths helped convince his followers that he was a prophet. Now, Perez was charged with multiple criminal counts, including first-degree murder, The Columbian Daily reports that he was ultimately found guilty of one count of first-degree murder, one count of sexual exploitation of a child, three counts of aggravated assault, seven counts of aggravated sodomy, eight counts of rape, and eight counts of making false statements. He was sentenced to two terms of life in prison and will not be eligible for parole until 2095. And my good sir, I don't think I'll be even here then. Nor you, nor me, nor you. Now, Daniel Perez, David Perez, Luke Castro, whoever you want to call yourself, what an absolutely insane person you are. And I'm kind of talking as if I'm talking to Luke Castro right now. But no, what would make that red flag system go ping is if somebody walked up to me, started talking to me, and told me they were an angel. No, thank you. And then, second time around, they tell me that they can predict the future and when people die. You know, that is when you as a person turn away from that guy and just keep on walking. Always, always checking your back though. And then they probably shout down the street saying, "Come to my compound. I have amazing residential suites and a swimming pool." That is when you turn around and you say, "Fuck off, Lou. Fuck off, David. Leave me alone." Now we're going to move on to our next cult. Now this one is a little bit different to the one we've just been talking about. This one's called Heaven's Gate. Now this is all on belief of UFOs, but it is also a religious group. So this one is probably going to twist your mind a little bit. So, let's get into Heaven's Gate. In 1975, they held gatherings in California and Oregon that attracted their initial followers. Those who attached themselves to, in brackets, the two, dropped out of society completely and prepared for the transition to a new life on a spaceship. When the expected transition did not occur, the group settled in Texas and lived a quiet communal existence, practicing disciplines that they believed would prepare them for the eventual movement to a higher level of existence. They had few contacts with outsiders until 1994, when their expectation of the imminent transition was again heightened. So they packed up and felt their need to move to California. They settled in San Diego in 1996. They supported themselves by creating sites on the World Wide Web for users to establish their own website to offer readers a gate to heaven. This is exactly where the name came from. Early in 1997, a rumor circulated among the New Age community that an artificial object or spaceship was following the recently discovered comet Hale-Bopp, which would approach Earth close around the time of spring. As the comet approached, the Heaven's Gate group, which had shrunken by 39 members, took poison in three different waves. So 15 of them would take it, A few moments later, another 15 would take the poison. And then last, the final 9 would take the poison in the belief that the spaceship would arrive to take them to a better place. Prior to the event, the members of the group made a video explaining their individual reasons for their chosen path. Evans Gate was founded in 1974 and it was led by Bonnie Nettles. She died in 1985, which was 12 years before the group had this weird kind of mass suicide in the March of 1997. It was a new religious movement. Often people describe this as a cult. They went on a journey of spiritual discovery, identifying themselves as two witnesses of revelation, attracting a following of several hundred people in the mid-70s. And in 1976, a group of a few dozen members stopped recruiting. Scholars have described Heaven's Gate as a mixture of Christianity, of New Age and ufology, and as such has it been characterized as a UFO religion. The central belief of the group was that followers could transform themselves into immortal beings by rejecting their human nature, and they would be ascended to heaven, referred to as the next level. Or the evolutionary level above human. The death of Nettles, who of course was Bonnie, the founder, in 1985, challenged the group's views. Where the original belief that they would have sent to heaven while alive aboard a UFO, They came into belief that the body was merely a container or a vehicle for the soul, and that their consciousness would be transferred to the next level bodies upon death. And of course, this leads to March 26 in 1997. When deputies of San Diego County Sheriff's Department discovered the bodies of 39 active members of the group. They had participated in a coordinated series of ritual suicides. Just before the mass suicide, the group's website was updated with the messages, "Hailbot brings closure to Heaven's Gate. Our 22 years of classroom here on planet Earth is finally coming to a conclusion. Graduation from the human evolutionary. We are happily prepared to leave this world and go to Ty's crew." All 39 members used phenobarbital to kill themselves. They mixed it with applesauce or pudding and washed it down with vodka. After ingesting the applesauce pudding mix, they secured plastic bags around their heads. All 39 members were dressed in identical black shirts and sweatpants, brand new black and white Nike Decades athletic shoes, and armband patches reading Heaven's Gate Away Team. I mean, imagine seeing this unfolding. I can't quite put my head around it. But it's not like they went out somewhere in open space waiting for a spaceship or some kind of object to land to take them away, if that's what they believed. But they did this with inside of a house. The group members of Heaven's Gate did it in a rented mansion. It was done in a rented mansion. Now, if you're an absolutely massive believer of UFOs, I'm not saying there isn't anything out there. But I know there's a lot of people out there that are adamant that they have been taken away in their back garden by a flying saucer. This is what these kind of guys and ladies are at this point. Now, if they think that a flying saucer is going to be approaching them to take them away, why not go out in, I don't know, go to Nevada Desert, go somewhere that is completely open and is well known for UFO sightings, and do it there? That would kind of make sense to me, but they haven't. Every single one of these 39 members has killed themselves in a rented mansion. So we'll continue for a little bit here because it gets pretty fucked up. So there was 39 people, which were 21 women and 18 men between the ages of 26 and 72. They are believed to have died in three groups over three successive days. This information comes from members that have left. So previous members knew how it would work, and this is how it would have been done. Now, the remaining participants were there to clean up each group's death. So the suicide occurred in two groups of 15 and one group of 9. So that first group of 15 would kill themselves, with obviously in the process of putting the bag on their head and drinking the poison as well. So the other remaining groups that were still alive would clean up the dead, take the bags off the head and put them on a bed, which obviously then would mean that the dead would be in space or in some kind of UFO going somewhere else in this crazy universe. Now, I don't know about you, but for that cult, there has to be some kind of psychedelic drugs involved. And that is not taking the piss out of anybody that believes in UFOs, because I'm quite skeptical on UFOs anyway. I do believe, I don't believe. I haven't really got enough evidence in the bag, although I know there's a lot that has been leaked out by the American government over the past year or so. So, I mean, we'll get there one day with the UFOs, but I don't think I will ever kind of get Heaven's Gate cult and the reasons behind what they were doing. It just, to me, doesn't make sense. And I feel there was a hell of a lot of drugs involved. And you know what? They might have had a really fucking good time doing it, but it's just not for me. And it also comes to thinking that it is a really, really deeply saddening situation, because we don't know these 39 people. We don't know if they were feeling trapped within this cult. Did they want to let go? Did they begin to think, I don't want this shit no more? So we don't actually know how they were feeling, which is incredibly sad. And I'm sure it is the exact same for every single cult going. There's going to be people that have been pushed into these cults that didn't want it in the first place, but will be trapped within them, feeling terrified that they can't leave that cult. So I'm going to do my best to keep on digging to finding a lot more cults, because there's so many cults out there that we can talk about. So I'm going to do a few more episodes on cults. And you know what, guys? It's been amazing to be finally recording another episode for you. I thank you, awesome people, for listening. And to be honest, while the podcast has kind of taken a break, there's still so many more new people listening. So thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in. And I'll see you again next time under the stairs.